Welcome to the Jimmy and Nate podcast. We hope this wasn't a mistake. If it was, please stay. And remember, you can listen to the podcast whilst you're
in a 3-day snap lockdown.
Yeah.
Which we've just come out of.
I actually did listen to a lot of our podcast in lockdown.
Actually, a really good time to do it, really, isn't it? To consume content.
Been meaning to, I've actually got some notes for you.
Oh, sit down and read
some
notes.
Feedback.
Yeah, I got some. I was pretty hard on myself. I just went in the bathroom, looked at myself in the mirror, and went, "Jim, here's what you need to be better at."
Slapping yourself silly.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up, we had the premiere on today. We talked all things COVID lockdown, the snap lockdown. And he said, and we do, and we'll do it right now. A round of applause to Tassie. Well done to everybody doing the right thing. Most people, except one person.
Can I say a little peek behind the curtains? You'll hear it in our chat with Peter Gutwin, but towards the end of the interview, I throw out there just to see if he'd do a TikTok with you and I, Nate.
I loved that.
And he did say yes on the show. And producer Grace, behind the scenes currently, the wheels are in motion.
Yeah, I'm talking to somebody who is talking to somebody who will hopefully make that happen.
I love that. I love. Did he ask the question, where do you want to do it? Or did we suggest we'll go to him?
No, he said, where do you want to do it? And who will be filming? And I said, I'll be filming and we'll do it wherever you want us.
Imagine if we got to go to Gutwin's house.
It's not going to be at his house. I mean, it might be.
You never know.
But pretty confident he lives just outside of Launceston.
A private government chopper to Gutwin's house to do a TikTok.
I can't see that happening.
A man can dream.
I just don't want to get your hopes up.
I don't think he has a chopper.
I don't know.
The state would have one, surely. There'd be a state chopper. Just courier one.
Yeah. Oh.
Get us up to, where does he live? Outside of Launceston.
I think he just lives outside of Lonnie. He has a residence here in Hobart, but he lives in.
God, my hopes are up now. Oh, I know I came up with this. I planted my own seed, but now
this
my hopes
what you
are
do.
Way
you
up.
You constantly disappoint yourself.
I know.
Because you come up with the thing and then you go, guys.
And then I look in the mirror and start slapping myself and going, hey, sort it out. You know what I mean?
No, you did your 3.
Can't wait. We're going to be on a chopper.
Very excited. We also had Ainsley, Kosh. No related to David.
Koshy.
I don't think. We actually didn't ask her.
Oh, my hopes are up again.
We're going to meet Koshy. He's going to fly his private jet down.
Wow.
But she was chatting to the man in question who allegedly sent us into the 3-day lockdown. So we have a bit of a chat to her about how the interview went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut off some goods. It's a good podcast today, guys. Tell your friends. Tell your friends about it.
This send is one it. You send people.
Send
this
it in a group chat. Get the link. Send it in a group chat.
Be like, you know hey guys, Premier Chat starts at 18:36.
Yeah.
It won't start at that time, but...
Imagine if you nailed that. Imagine if it was 18:36.
No, before the... Yeah, it'll be longer than 18. Yeah. It'll be maybe, I reckon. I mean, let's take a stab at it now. I haven't edited the podcast yet. I reckon it'll be 34 minutes it'll start.
Okay. Skip to exactly 34 minutes.
Let's see if I'm right.
Peter Gutwin. Thanks for coming on, mate.
And Jim, a Tassie favourite, well, I guess for travellers to the mainland, because we don't have one here, Krispy Kreme has launched a limited edition Halloween donut range. More like Krispy Scream.
You want to scream? Did you come up with that, or was that them?
That was me. But I'm assuming they probably...
What are they calling them?
Halloween donut range for Krispy Kreme. But their focus is donuts, mate. They're good at donuts.
Krispy Scream is good.
Krispy Scream! I didn't want to scream too loud into the mic. You know what I mean?
Like a sick bird.
A scary sick bird.
No,
sick not at bird. All. Okay.
Someone called Dr. Eric Verla. What's wrong with this
He is
bird.
Our bird guy.
He's our bird guy.
The collection features 3 donuts that are all decorated in things like skull designs, vampire teeth, spider's webs, and blood.
Not actual.
No, all edible. You know the sugary edible ones?
Yeah.
Flavours include red velvet.
Ooh.
White chocolate biscuit.
Ooh.
And raspberry jam.
All donuts are spooky. Do you know why?
Why?
Because they got a hole in them. Where did it go?
Ooh. There's a hole in them.
They're
still alive.
No.
No?
Dead.
Oh. Hey, I don't like to think about how the donuts are made.
Hmm.
Just... how they presented in the shop.
Do they punch the hole out? I don't know how donuts are made.
Man. No, it's gentle. They wait for the donut to pass away, then they cut a hole in it. Free range donuts.
Is there a bunch of like plugs somewhere? You know what I mean?
Sitting. Yeah, where are the middle bits?
Is that how they taste test them?
Oh,
they
true.
Just finger out a little bit and put it in their mouth.
And that's how it's quality control.
Yeah.
Really, isn't it? Is there somewhere where you can buy, yeah, like the offcuts?
I'd prefer...
Like a...
Oh, here we go.
No, they're made as rings.
No, is there like a factory outlet where you can buy the offcuts?
No, but there is a little thing. Have you heard of donut holes?
No.
I don't think they're big in Australia. I see them talked about on TV shows all the time, but
big
they're
holes.
Little like donuts, but they're just like a ball.
Oh, so there are.
Yeah, so no, they're offcuts.
But they're not.
They're offcuts.
They're not actually.
They're fingered out.
Offcuts. They're just made in a different way.
So do they push them out like a.
No, so.
Like a
imagine
pimple.
You've got some Play-Doh and you roll it out into a long worm and then you join it to each other to make a ring, like a little lifesaver, and then you deep fry that. That's a donut.
What about the ones that don't have holes?
Well, they're just pastries.
Good point.
No, they're donuts.
They're still donuts.
I know.
But in the circle of life, it's just all donuts. It's not pastries. And
what about a jam donut?
Well, then it's just like a little bun, and then you put a hole in it.
No, that's not a bun. It's a donut.
It's still a donut.
Okay, but a bun shape.
The question we want to know is, where are the offcuts?
I'm saying there's whole donuts and someone's taken out the middle.
Do they eat the offcuts?
Is that how they test them?
I think it is. Or is there someone we can buy?
Because normal donuts are whole, right?
Mm.
And then you can either put something in and inject it with like jelly or chocolate, or you put a hole in it.
So what you're saying is Circle of Life should open like offcuts of life. A hole of life.
What are they called? Donut bites.
Mm. Donut holes.
Donut holes.
But they're not the hole.
They're just like mini little, like a cinnamon donut, but just a little sphere.
I refuse to buy the donuts with holes in them because I just feel like I'm not getting value for money.
They're broken, really, aren't they?
I want a full donut with something inside.
Yeah, absolutely. Something scary.
Where are the holes from?
Oh, it's the ghosts of
do you scream
donuts. Help that bird, would you?
Nath, McDonald's are doing spooky nuggets.
Ooh.
For Halloween.
Are they actually?
Yeah, and they got little holes in the middle of them.
Oh, no, that's don't you take away my nuggets.
Spooky nuggets.
Ooh.
That's all incorrect. McDonald's did that live, guys. Is quietly trialing an exclusive new menu item. Now, it's only in New South Wales or South Australia at the moment. In some stores, not all stores, just some stores.
Well, we discussed this on the show several times. They pick random stores, don't they, and do like a little testers.
Yeah, because McDonald's is always quite busy,
mm-hmm.
right? So when they introduce something new, they've got to see how it cooks, how it fits in, the time, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So they pick some random stores.
It's all part of a big system, isn't it?
Yeah. They try it out, and then if it works and if it's popular, then they implement it everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, at the moment, in some New South Wales and South Australia stores, McDonald's has confirmed, they've come out and said, because they don't announce it, they don't go, hey, we're trialling this, but heaps of people message them and went, is this real? And McDonald's went, yes, we are selling southern-style chicken. Sorry, spooky-style chicken.
Spooky. Ooh. Nah, it's not spooky.
It's the ghosts of KFC.
Oh, it is. So they're going after the fried chicken market.
A spokeswoman said, it's part of our commitment to growing our chicken menu and giving our customers even more choice. We look forward to receiving customer feedback on the trial. Got a little photo for you here, Nath. See the little package?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. They look a bit like nuggets, don't they?
Yeah. Well, that's... I think that's a wing, a leg.
Boned nuggets, really. Can you say that? I don't think you can say boned nuggets.
I said fingering donuts, so you can say whatever you want.
I can say boning nuggets and fingering donuts. Well, this is interesting because only a couple of weeks ago we announced that Hungry Jack's also entering the fried chicken market. So the fried chicken war is heating up. If I was, who are they called? KFC. If I'm KFC, I'm starting to freak out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're coming for you.
The Colonel.
They are. If I'm the Colonel, I'm like, yeehaw.
Well, no, he's... Because he's passed away.
Oh. You do one.
Yee-haw.
Oh. Tops of 17. Get this. Sunny today, guys. Finally. Speaking of sunshine.
It's cold though outside.
It is cold.
It's 5 degrees.
It's going to warm up to a balmy 17 though. That's right.
Hot.
It's already heating up in the studio with this lady. Rach comes in because she's only one boot away. One boot away.
comes in because she's got the good news today.
Oh my, it's hot in here.
Thank you.
It's hot, Rachel.
Okay, yeah. We'll leave that. You might want to change the opener.
Yeah, well, yeah, here it is. Please welcome Rachel.
Perfect. If we could run that from now on, that'd be swell.
Yeah, we could do that. That's fine.
Look, an important one, if you're in the car this morning, if you're driving around Hobart, dropping the kids off at school, if you're going to work, if you're just going for a joyride, whatever you're doing.
Doing some manies, manies down Bathurst.
Fat laps.
Doing some sick laps, yeah. Whatever you're doing in the car this morning. Amy's come out with its crash index for Hobart, the worst crash hotspots across the city. The list is out. Argyle Street in the city, number one for the second year in a row.
Oh, wow.
Tell you what, I drive up Argyle Street every morning, admittedly at 3:30 in the morning, so I don't get a lot of traffic. But during the day, my lord, it is hectic.
It is. It's bumper to bumper. So are we talking like those little bingles and stuff that always happen all the time? Yeah, Lara Bingle. Where the bloody hell are you? Where the bloody hell are you, guys? Hit my
right
car.
In front of you.
Indicate, you idiot.
Yeah, look at your mirrors.
What happens is, I don't know if you two are the same, but we get in so early. Rachel gets in earlier than us, but I get around 4:30 and I'll drive through Argyle Street. There's no one there, right?
It's fine. It's empty. No,
for some reason in my brain, then I'll drive later in the day. And I'll just...
Were you surprised that there are people out?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I forgot this road.
And I'll get mad. I'll get on the horn. Yeah. What are you people doing?
I don't like driving at normal hours. Don't like it.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like the roads are for me. Yeah. Get off them.
So, honestly, it doesn't surprise me that Argyle Street's number one.
Yeah, look.
Because, I mean, it is... So, and people chopping and changing, going left and right off the back of it and trying to go over three lanes.
Not possible. Yeah. Don't do it.
Stop doing it, guys.
Yeah, look, Macquarie Street came in number two. Sandy Bay Road, number three. Number four, Main Road, Moona.
Yeah, it can be bad.
Lots of foot traffic coming through Main Road as well.
It's a busy one.
Mm.
Well, we've got Peter Gutwin on the show after eight. Is there anything we should ask him about?
The roads?
Yeah.
Or
anything in general? I mean,
I was going to go COVID, but if you do want to talk about Main Road, Moona.
If he's ever been in a car accident where he got into a bingle. That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that.
Has he ever
clipped someone in the car park?
He's ever reversed out, scratched the car, and then no one's around, and he's gone.
Oh, he's gone away.
That's what we want to know, his driving history.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete, welcome to the show. I know COVID's a big thing, masks, yada, yada, yada. Mm. But
how many points have you doing?
Yeah. Ever been caught for speeding? Nath, the man whose actions allegedly led to a 3-day lockdown, has apologised for the trouble he admits he caused, claiming he didn't know he was required to quarantine. A reporter for 7 News Tasmania sat down with him yesterday. It was on the news last night. It's all anyone's talking about this morning. It's all over Facebook.
Yeah.
It's all over Instagram. It's on Snapchat. Please welcome to the show to tell us a little bit more about it, Ainsley Kosh from 7 News Tasmania.
Morning, guys.
Ainsley, when you did this interview, did you realise that it was going to be so big around Tassie and you'd appear on people's Snapchats, as we just said?
People were Snapchatting me last night, you.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, didn't expect the Snapchat, not at all. I did expect, though, however, it would, go pretty viral. This has obviously been a huge topic the last week, a lot of questions on people's lips about how this guy managed to escape hotel quarantine, how he managed to even get to Tassie, in the first place. I think naturally people in Tasmania had a lot of questions they wanted answered. And wanted to hear from this guy, I think, and just know, does he have any remorse? Why did he do it? How does he feel knowing that he caused a lockdown? So, I'm not too surprised that there's been this reaction.
Can you talk us through, so behind the scenes, because again, we're lucky enough, the three of us, to work in media, we sort of understand it. You're sitting in the interview, then it gets cut up, they put footage and stuff in. So yesterday when you sat down with him, talk us through, how did that process play out?
Well, so I wasn't even sure that he would talk to me. I'd obviously been in contact with people known to him, and it sort of came out of the blue. Once he called me, I had to quickly get that set up, talk to my camera operator who had the camera set up and filmed me interviewing him. We obviously had to do a phone interview because he's in hotel quarantine at the moment, so couldn't talk to him in person. So basically I sat down and what we do as journalists that are, on TV, we have a camera operator that films us and records the audio between myself and you know, over the phone. And the chat lasted maybe 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah.
And then from there, yeah, of course, clips from that audio get cut up to use in the story.
So we see that footage last night. It looks like he's reading a statement. Was that separate to you chatting to him and doing the interview?
Yes, it was. So I asked him because obviously, you know, we'd only been able to speak over the phone. Was there anything else he wanted to add in terms of apologising? So he chose to do a separate video from his hotel room, just saying, you know, how he felt and explain his remorse. So, yeah, we're able to use that as well.
Ainsley, can I ask how the interview eventuated in the first place? Did you guys, did Channel 7 reach out to him or did he reach out to you guys wanting to apologise? How did that process work?
So it wasn't him that initially reached out. I'd been speaking to people known to him who I got in contact through a source of mine. The people that I'd been speaking to that were known to him are also in quarantine. So they're some of his close contacts. And they were getting quite distressed. Obviously, there's a lot of hate out there towards him, towards them as well. So I'd been speaking with them and then they had obviously been speaking with him. And yesterday he decided, you know, after this lockdown, I need to get my side of the story out there. I need to explain myself.
Now, people who may have missed it last night, I feel like most people did get to see it. He's claiming that he didn't know he had to be quarantining, correct?
That's right. Yep. Yet he was in quarantine.
Okay.
So there's a few grey areas in this story. So basically what happened was he was living in Wodonga with his mum. He decided that he wanted to move to Tasmania where his girlfriend is living. So he made that decision to move. He says he applied through the right channels, got his G2G pass, provided the right identification, got to the Hobart airport, decided to call public health because he was unsure of whether or not he would have to quarantine. He claims they said, no, you don't have to quarantine. Next thing you know, though, he's taken to the Travelodge Hotel.
Which is a quarantine facility.
Which is a quarantine facility.
Free holiday. Oh, wow.
They must have, yeah. Did I get a travel voucher?
How do I claim this? Do I get $200
okay.
back?
I'm not... Yeah, okay.
So then at that point, he decides, well, I don't want to be here. I'm just going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which I found interesting because I know the line that he said was, "I did not do this on purpose." So, I mean,
someone pushed him out.
Did he accidentally leave? Like, and was he sleepwalking?
So the window was open and the front door was open, and a strong draft just carried him out.
How do you when you're doing an interview like this? Obviously, you want to be as professional as a reporter as you are, and you hear lines like, "I didn't do this on purpose. I didn't know I have to quarantine." What's the follow up question? As a reporter, after you hear lines like that, that are obviously quite troublesome.
Well, you know, I said to him, you know, obviously public health has a different side to the story. Mm. You know, they claim that you've been uncooperative throughout this whole process, you know, and that you were in hotel quarantine, you shouldn't have left. You know, what do you say to that? Well, he claims that he hasn't been uncooperative throughout this whole period and that he's given public health the information that they've needed, which of course is in stark contrast to what they've said, given that the only reason we even know about the exposure sites at Woolworths and Montrose Park is because other people told public health that's where he'd been.
Mm.
He didn't tell them that.
Now, if he's saying things like, I didn't have to quarantine, I did everything right, does that mean he would potentially contest this $3,100 fine that he's going to get? Because if so, then I guess he would believe that he doesn't deserve the fine either.
And that's a really good question. That's something I didn't get a chance to ask him because obviously the Premier's also asked police to look at throwing the book at this guy. The Premier's mad that we've even had a lockdown.
Of course.
So it's now up to police to decide whether or not they summons him to appear in court, in which case he could then face much heftier penalties, you know, potentially up to 6 months jail time or a huge fine. So I suppose it really depends, you know, what he wants to do from here. He said he wants to stay in Tasmania. He wants to live his life here. But it's up to police what happens next.
Well, we do have the Premier on the show next, in fact. So we can ask him
The big two, Ainsley and Peter. But potentially as well, when he gets, they could send him back, couldn't they?
Yes.
That could be next.
And that is a very real possibility. So,
Is that the next part of the story? Like, what? I guess when he comes out of quarantine, we'll know what sort of the next thing is?
Exactly. Now that the Premier has said to police, you know, I want you to throw the book at this guy, what avenues can you use? I mean, initially the Premier had said he'll probably have to go back to New South Wales at the end of that quarantine period, but it really depends what police choose to do. Okay. So, yeah, that's definitely something that we need to work out.
Well, Ainsley, I mean, we can't thank you enough for that. Obviously, well done on the interview yesterday.
Thank you.
You can go and see it on the 7 News Facebook page. Of course, it is on YouTube as well. Ainsley, we appreciate it, and I guess we'll be watching the story pretty closely. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Alpha Bucks
Millionaire. Alpha Bucks. Yeah, that's right. $1 million guaranteed, not long left. You want to be a part of it, sign up for free to the Listener app. Search for Jimmy and Nath. Our podcast is there. Fill out the competition entry form. You play for a thou. You win that. You play for a mil. This morning playing from Lewisham. Hello, Nathan. How are you?
Good, boys. How are we?
Mate, going all right. $1 million. Any idea?
Oh, there'd be a few things. Sticky date pudding's definitely first off the cab of the rank.
What is a sticky date? Oh, yeah.
I know, man. You're telling me.
It's probably my favourite dessert after Sahara.
Oh, love that.
Sahara Lee.
Oh, Sahara. Yeah, where's your favourite sticky date from, Nate?
Can't beat homemade. Mum, yeah. Definitely. Come on, boys.
Yeah. Well, yeah, invite us over. We'll come.
Yeah, we will. We'll come over and eat your mum's sticky date pudding. That would be amazing, no?
Hey, you've got my number. Come on.
We literally do. Yeah. We have your number. Yeah. All right, Nath, that's it we can do for you. This morning, you're not going to believe it. Your letter is M, as in M for mum, the person who makes an amazing sticky date pudding. You're 30 seconds.
I didn't know where you're going there because I could see the letter and I'm like, what?
Mickey date pudding.
M for Mickey date pudding.
Your 30 second start to the end of the first topic I give you. You can pass, we can come back to that topic if there is time. At the end of the 30 seconds, Nath, are you ready to play?
Ready, boys.
Here we go. All right, your first question, beginning with M. Name a chocolate.
Martha.
A dessert.
Pass.
A Hobart tourist attraction.
Mona.
A Muppets character.
Pass.
A Disney princess.
Pass.
An AFL player.
Pass.
Pokemon.
Macho.
Something in a studio.
Microphone.
A musical.
Mother.
Something you read.
Mercury.
A dessert.
Meringue.
Muppet's character.
Muppet.
Muppet Man, Muppet Man.
The Muppet.
I mean, I'll give that. Technically, they're all Muppets, aren't they?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I'll give Mars Bar, I'll give Meringue.
I don't know about the famous musical.
I was really hoping Nathan said Mickey Date Pudding. Look, the musical Mother.
Musical Mother? I know producer Grace is our musical expert outside. The musical Mother, Grace.
Mamma Mia?
That's what he meant. That's what you meant, Nathan.
Yeah, that's what I said, isn't it?
He said Mother Mia. But
Mother
he meant
Mia.
Mama
which
Mia.
Is just the English version.
Yeah.
Oh, Mother Mia. That's the here we go again.
The subtitled version of Mamma Mia.
My. How could I begin? Look, Nath, we can't give you the foul, unfortunately. What I will give you, though, is $50, all thanks to MyState Bank, the human way to bank. That's all yours, mate.
Too easy, boys. Thank you.
Good on you, Nate. Thanks for playing.
Get the round of applause ready for a man who's been a member of the Tasmanian Liberal Party since 2002. He is a qualified black belt instructor in the martial art of Taekwondo. He's a big fan of AFL here in Tassie and us getting our own team because he's putting the boots back on. He's coming out of retirement. He's a Sagittarius. He's the owner of several dogs, my favourite being Mac. He has a panther on one arm and Jimmy and Nath on the other. Please welcome to the show the Premier of Tasmania, Peter Gutwin.
Pete, welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you both?
Better now, Premier, that we've got you on the show.
How's that intro going, Pete? Am I getting better at it?
Look, I must admit, every time you just inch forward towards perfection. Every time
we're getting close.
Beautifully.
We're getting closer and closer.
Look, it's hard to find interesting facts because every time I want to add something, I just want to fact check that. Do you have several dogs, and one of them is named Mac?
I do have a dog called Mac. In fact, that's my daughter Millie's dog, Mac. And I have a dog, Timmy. And unfortunately, we had a dog, Woody, that we had to rehome because our place wasn't large enough for
us. Okay.
We have two dogs.
Yes. We'll be adding both of those to the intro for next time, Pete. It's just getting longer and longer.
Also,
we're going to run out of time.
Did you say Jimmy or Timmy?
Timmy.
Jimmy.
But after, actually, I should have called him Jimmy.
Pete, look, let's dive right into it. Obviously, big weekend for yourself, big weekend for Southern Tasmania. When I say big, I mean not big, locked down. mate, how did you find the last 3 days, of course, announcing that snap 3-day lockdown? How did you find the response from, I guess, your chief medical team and of course, Tasmania as well?
Well, the first thing I want to say, lads, is thank you to Southern Tasmania, to everybody that that helped us through this. It's rare, in fact, very rare for Tasmania to be in lockdown. And in fact, first time since, obviously, the first quarter of last year that we've had to take measures like this. I was just so impressed with the way that Southern Tasmanians stepped up to the plate, did what was required, and then we were able to come out of it at 6 p.m. on Monday night. So very pleased and thankful for the efforts of everyone.
Premier, I'm assuming you don't make a decision like this lightly, but what kind of factors go into making a decision like this? Because I know a lot of people are like, oh, we've only had one case, why are we locking down, that kind of stuff. Is it the uncertainty or what kind of decisions came about? What kind of factors helped you make this decision for a 3-day lockdown?
Well, there were a couple of main reasons. And certainly the decision was made off the back of public health advice, but public health had formed the view that the risk to the community was quite real and potentially could be quite devastating. Obviously, we've been messaging this up. We were not comfortable with the level of information that we were receiving in terms of the case and their movements. More importantly, once we found out that the individual had been to the Woolworths supermarket and that there were significant numbers of people that were then classed as close contacts who'd had some time in the community as well. Public health took the view that if there were to be cases, then it could be widespread and that unfortunately it could have lasted much longer than 3 days. So the decision was made for a quick 3-day snap lockdown with a view to being able to ensure that in terms of close contacts, that testing could occur, but importantly that we could get an understanding of where this virus could potentially be in the community. I want to thank public health. Their people just are fantastic. They have a very difficult job trying to elicit information from individuals. They work extraordinarily dedicated in terms of the steps that they take. And importantly, we came through it and got out of it, and I'm very pleased with that.
Look, I'm with you, Pete. I know Nath as well. Massive round of applause, public health, but also Tasmanians.
Yeah,
I know the
well
majority
done,
of people doing the right thing and, you know, wearing masks till 6 p.m. this Friday as well. But I do want to chat about that individual, Pete. I know you did say about throwing the book at him. I don't know if you managed to see it, but he was on 7 Tasmanian News last night, and he's come out and said that he did the right thing, that he was being cooperative, but this goes against everything that you've said, public health said. Did you see that last night? Do you have a response to that?
Look, I did see it last night, and it certainly surprised me. But look, I'd allow Tasmanians to make their own judgments on this. Public health have been quite clear in terms of their concerns around the information that they were receiving. And I think Tasmanians are smart enough to work out what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
Well said.
Well said.
See, that's why you're the Premier, Pete.
Well, I mean,
that's why you're the Premier.
Well, Pete, I mean, let's talk about next step for this bloke. We call him a COVIDiot. that's the term we use. But what will be the next step for this fellow? I mean, he said that he wants to stay within Tasmania. There's rumours that he might be shipped back to the mainland. There's rumours that he might appear in front of a court, in front of a judge. Where do you want to see this heading next?
Look, I've made my views very clear on this, and in terms of those views, I think I'm reflecting the broader Tasmanian community. But importantly, there's a public health response underway at the moment, and as both Dr. Veach and Donna Adams have made very clear at the press conferences that we've held, that the public health response comes first, and then police will do their work. And I'll leave that in the hands of police. I think it's important that, that they are allowed to go about their investigations unfettered, and quite obviously, they need to operate autonomously from government, and that's exactly what they will do. But public health response first, police will do their work, and then we'll see where this matter goes.
Pete, just mentioned it briefly there, wearing masks till 6 p.m. this Friday. When are we going to get an update about that and whether that will continue or not?
Well, I said at the press conference on Monday that we'd provide that update on Friday morning, and importantly, we will. Obviously, as we move forward, public health will continue with the testing of the close contacts. We're only a handful. As of last night, I think there were only two tests that we were waiting on in terms of those that we have in quarantine. I'll get an update again shortly this morning in terms of that, and I'll be standing up at 11 o'clock today and providing some more information about that. But at this stage, it all seems to be going well. The point I would make is that if we do have another positive case, and that could still be possible in terms of the people that we have in quarantine at the moment, they've been tested once, they'll be due for their second test. You know, this virus can come on after a period of days, and normally 3 to 5 days is when we see the virus take effect. So we'll continue to test, but the important thing is that those close contacts are all in quarantine, and if anybody does test positive, they're in quarantine and there's no risk to the community.
Pete, back on this bloke, he claimed that he just simply walked out of hotel quarantine. There was no guard there to stop him. And I know at the moment that the security team are working through footage to see what actually happened, whether or not somebody just let him out. Have you got any clarity on how he managed to get out of hotel quarantine so easily?
There's currently a review underway. And, look, I should have advice, I would hope, before the end of the week in terms of that. And, obviously, I'll make that advice public. We need to understand exactly what has gone on, but, importantly, that steps are taken to ensure that it can't occur again. And in terms of the initial investigations, we put additional security guard on security guards into hotels where it's necessary. Police are playing a role as well. And we've also increased CCTV. Now, I'd make the point that there have been 13,500 people that have gone through quarantine, and there have only been two breaches of hotel quarantine where people have actually been able to leave, and it's important that we take whatever steps we can to ensure that that can't occur. But I would make this point. These are quarantine hotels. They're not prisons. They're not correctional facilities, and with them, they bring certain challenges.
Pete, well, I've got you. You know, we're massive sports fans. You know, we love our Hurricanes. Jack Jumpers starting soon. Alistair Clarkson, officially involved with our Tassie bid for an AFL team. How are you feeling about that? You feeling more confident now?
Look, it's just fantastic to have Clarko on board. He is one of the big thinkers in terms of football and has been, the best coach I think that the AFL have had in place for the last 20 years. And I think for most, I'm not a Hawthorn supporter, but I think almost every Hawthorn supporter would agree with that. He's been extraordinarily successful. Importantly, people listen to Clarko, and to have him on the team is just fantastic. Can I just take just one pivot back just in terms of COVID just for a moment? Because today we will hit 70% double vaccination,
awesome.
Fully vaccinated, which is a great milestone. But I just want to encourage Tasmanians to step up and roll up their sleeve, especially those in the 16 to 29 year old age group. Now's the time to get vaccinated. That's the one group that I'm most concerned about for two reasons. One is that they are lagging in terms of vaccine coverage at the moment, but when we do open up, and we will open up before Christmas, that's our plan, and I'll be talking more about that on Friday, they will be the group that will be more socially mobile than others. And so it's important that that cohort gets vaccinated. And so I just encourage everybody, there are plenty of clinics around you, and every clinic you can now walk into. We'd prefer book so we know we can manage our staff and resources. But importantly, if you want to get vaxxed and you're driving past a clinic, turn up, roll up your sleeve and get vaxxed. It's really important that that happens.
Well, look, Pete, I agree with you. And look, for some reason, I'm not sure why, the 16 to 29-year-olds, they love us. So if you are listening to the show, Nathan and I, we're both double vax. So yep. We encourage you, if you're listening as well, to get vaccinated. It's our best way to beat this and also get back to as much normality as possible. But, Pete, another thing that the 16 to 29-year-olds love that Nathan and I know, they love the TikToks, mate. They love the videos. You don't have to say yes, but is there any chance the three of us, Jimmy, Nathan, Pete, we could do a TikTok, a video?
With Puppy G.
With Puppy G asking people to get vaccinated. Could we make that happen?
There is no doubt at all in my mind that we can make that happen. Absolutely, we can make that happen. I'll get my team onto you today, and we'll sort something out.
I love it, Pete. Right. We love you, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. No, good on you.
No worries, gentlemen.
We appreciate you coming on the show. Good on you, Premier Peter Gutwin. Finally, some good news, Jim. We got some good news.
Yeah, some good news. If you listen around this time of the show, you might hear friend of the show, Mickey McPherson from Stay Chatty, join us each Monday. Because we had to limit him to one day because he's just greasy.
Oh, yeah. He just loves being with the boys.
I just text him up. Phone's going off again. When am I on next?
Heard you say my name. Get me on.
I can call up. But no, Nathan, this is massive round of applause to all the people that put it together.
Yeah.
There's a huge team, and we have a new date. Because obviously, it'll be postponed over the weekend with a 3-day snap lockdown.
Yeah.
But it's now the 30th. And look, unfortunately, a few people can't go now because of the date change, but that does mean tickets are up for grabs.
Absolutely. Limited time. Now, these will go very quickly. So
you can head to the Stay Chatty Instagram account. That's the best place to check it.
Sorry, I just whacked my mic then. Sorry. Forgot where my hands were. Sorry, you can go.
It's the funniest thing you've ever done. just put your hand in your hand.
Just slap the mic.
Well, you looked straight at me and then you scared yourself.
Yeah, it freaked me out. I was like, oh, that's there. It's become an extension of my own body. You know what I mean?
Well, so you don't know what your body is.
No, I have no idea what my stuff are. My hands just go, whoa, on. Well, I took someone out at the gym the other day. I ran straight into them.
Why?
They're in my way.
What? No. How did you do that?
No, I didn't see them and turned around. And then I tried to get out of the way. And have you ever tried to get out of the way and made the situation worse? That's what I did because we both stepped the same side and I knocked this person over and I felt so bad.
You know someone tried to get on my treadmill the other day? Had the headphones.
Whilst you were on it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You ever feel like someone's behind you?
Yeah. And someone was behind you.
And I turned on the treadmill and this person's looking at their phone, headphones in, walking straight at the treadmill. And I'm like running and I'm like, surely they're not about to. And their foot goes. And as I go, hey. And then they sort of look up and they startle. They go, and they just sort of wave at me and then walk to the next.
You shouldn't have said anything.
No, they would have hurt themselves or me because the treadmill was going quite fast because I run.
You're on a 6.5, are you?
Yeah, I was on an 8 incline with about 15.
Doing some fartlek training.
Anyway, we got really distracted there. Our Stage Chatty tickets.
Yeah. Available. They will go quickly. 30th.
At Stage Chatty on Instagram is the best way to go because
You're right.
What's the word I'm looking for?
You okay?
The information you need is there.
Okay, yeah, we got there. Yeah, that's right. what's going on? 30th of October, and we're still emceeing, which is good.
Yes, we're still there. But
you're right.
Yeah.
Did you fall off the treadmill and hit your head? Is that what happened?
I actually don't remember how that story
Oh, dear. Wrapping up your Wednesday, wrapping up your week, Jim.
Yeah, done, dusted. I'm just going to do it. Rating the show. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, 10 out of 10, guys.
Awesome. Had the premiere on. Good get from producer Grace behind the scenes.
Thank you.
Well done.
Didn't just have Premier Peter Gutton. We also had Ainsley Kosh, the reporter from 7 News Tasmania that interviewed the Covidiot.
The Covidiot, yeah. Obviously, if you haven't seen that, go to YouTube. Check it out, the 7 Tasmania Facebook page. It's all huge views.
Don't go there. Just get the podcast and listen to our chat.
Listen to the JN podcast.
We go in depth. We go in deep.
We do. We go further than anyone else will. And that's the motto of this show. Jimmy and Nate, they'll keep going. Jimmy and Nate, they'll go further. They'll go deeper.
Jimmy and Nate, can't believe it's that deep.
Yeah. Jimmy and Nate, wow, that's deep.
You do one, Ben.
No, I can't.
You do one, Grace.
Jimmy and Nate, sometimes it's deep.
Go, Ben.
Jimmy and Nate, I can't believe it's not shallow.
Okay. Jimmy and Nate. Yeah, that's deep.
Not that one.
Not that one?
No, what about you guys? What have you rated the show?
Oh, yeah, 10.
Oh, don't sound too convinced, mate.
Oh, I mean, if you compare yesterday's gossip to today's gossip, and it was both Wiggle related, 10 out of 10 today.
Oh, 10 out of 10 today, absolutely. Much better than it was yesterday.
You had a good gag today as well.
Yeah, chugga chugga.
Yeah.
What about you, no?
10 out of 10, mate, absolutely 10 out of 10, the premier. Getting the premier on and just delving into some stuff that everyone wants to hear. Download the podcast today, guys. You know what I mean? What's happening?
I've got a text message from a friend of the show, Dave-O. Yeah. And he is driving next to our billboard.
Oh, is that still up?
Yeah, and his hand's there, and he said, how's this for deep?
Yeah, nice. And he's doing like the shuckers.
Yeah.
He's doing the shuckers.
That's
nice. And you know what? That should be the logo of the show.
How's this for deep?
Jimmy and Nate, how's that for deep?
I know we don't rate future shows, but if I can, would you let me?
You want to rate a future show?
Yeah, is that all right?
Yeah, you can. Of course you can.
I'd love to rate Thursday and Friday's show of this week. And I reckon you're going to get two more 10 out of 10 shows.
Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon?
Eggs Benny, you're filling in for us, aren't you?
I sure am.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to be doing?
Actually, I interviewed Casey Barnes.
Oh, sure.
So you'll be able to hear that on Friday.
That's a good... That's
oh, shit,
that's
we were doing a bit, but it's actually going to be really good.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You actually got us there. I was like, hey, you won't say
bit.
Anything.
There you go. A little bit. Well, Eggs I told Benny. You that yesterday.
Eggs Benny, a little bit. A little bit deep.
Oh.
Just a little. A little bit deep.
Just enough.
Yeah. That's about how you do the show.
It's about how Eggs you use Benny it. For breakfast. It's just enough.
Want more Jimmy and Nath? Download the Hit app. This is the show. Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.